Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I am joined by Rob as the co-host, and we are talking to Bianca today. Bianca is a returning guest, but thank you so much for coming on again today. We're going to be talking about returning to sport after injury. So the physical components, but most importantly, the mental components, because I feel like a lot of people really struggle after an injury getting back to sport and not wanting to like jump in, or when they're actually off trying to not go clinically insane. So we're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about your history, your experience, and we're going to shed some light. So thank you so much for coming on again, and I'm excited for this talk.
Of course, I'm excited.
Awesome. So to first kind of kick this thing off, we'll do a little bit of an intro again with just with you to introduce to the audience again. What got you into training, and then we'll kind of tackle on all that stuff. And then also what you're doing now with your sports and everything.
Sure. So for me, I've been a trainer for the last 2 years. I think getting into this kind of field has been really inspiring for me because I really enjoy helping people. And the coaches in my life always played such an influential role in not only like just my life in general, but as an athlete and a person. And so like growing up taking that, I was like, that's exactly what I want to do. And I kind of fell in love with coaching, and my sport is lacrosse. So like I started with lacrosse coaching and then fell in love with fitness and kind of meshed the two together. And now it's kind of just like this dream that I'm bringing to a reality. So like working with my athletes or general population. It's been really great for me. In terms of like injuries and everything like that, I'm coming off of a 2 year basically pelvis post back injury, which I talked about last podcast. Yeah. But that was pretty much a big pivotal moment in my career as an athlete, and probably one of the biggest roadblocks that I've had to deal with in like the last, I don't know, maybe 20 years of my like athletic career. In terms of like future, I just got back from Australia and played in a, like my first competition since I got hurt, which was really awesome. But for future goals and plans, which I mentioned last time, is the Olympics in 2028. So I'm really hoping I can be a part of the Italian national squad and participate in the Olympics there for field lacrosse, and then kind of retire and just focus solely on coaching. I think my body's kind of gotten to a point where it's like, okay, Bianca, like you are getting close to the end of your athletic career. So, but I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that I have and have been able to do. So,
First thing is, how was Australia?
Australia was great. I think like the initial shock of like playing my first game in pretty much 2 years was like, I remember like showing up before the game and almost having a panic attack. Like I could feel my chest tightening up. I could feel this like uneasiness going through my body. I'm like, what if I forgot how to play? Like, what if I go and this is a complete disaster? I had like all these thoughts going through my head, and I'm just like, okay, Bianca, like you've been playing lacrosse for so many years. Yes, you've suffered a significant injury, but like, you know how to play lacrosse and you're going to pick it up and you're going to be fine. But overall, in the total, I think we played 6 games, and like I was seemingly surprised how well my body managed. Like I thought by the end of it, and like with all the plane rides, I would have been a wreck. But I'm actually so grateful for the way my body was resilient through that. Like by game 6, I was struggling, but honestly, like it couldn't have gone better than I imagined. So it was really great.
And did you, as soon as you started, did that feeling go away? That fear?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think like the initial like shock, I was like, oh my God, like I was so nervous to get hit again, because initially I had like some PTSD from when my injury was at its worst and then getting basically body checked. I was like, holy crap. Right. But I'd say after like the first 20 minutes, I was like, okay, like you're okay. Like you're fine. You know, like you're quick, just run around people so you don't get hit. But honestly, I think after that first game, it just kind of was like water under the bridge. So,
and quick follow-up question to that too, just because we love talking about like what makes people awesome and the cool like tips and tricks they do for like visualization, focus, all those kind of things. Was there a certain like pregame? Like I know all the athletes had like their pregame routine, visualization, everything there. Was there something that you had kind of created some kind of system beforehand in your career that really helped you as you were getting ready to go out there?
Yeah, actually, like in college, I dealt with a lot of like anxiety post, like pre-competition, just given the environment that I was in, like going from high school to like a Division I level was extremely different. And working with a sports psychologist, we actually talked a lot on visualization. So I would actually close my eyes during like pregame, visualize myself on the field, kind of the things that I was good at, the things that I wanted to go well, what I wanted to accomplish in that game. And I would just sit there for a few minutes and like almost meditate and kind of get myself into a calm state, because I would get very worked up before a game, but also like the adrenaline during the game just kind of took me to a different level as well. So that transition from between college and high school is crazy. Like you go from being this like the best player in your province or your city to being a small fish in this big pond and having to prove yourself. There's so many different pressures, anxieties, and feelings that you go through. It's visualization is like super key with the mental part of it.
We're big believers in it here.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think visualization is like a major crucial thing for success, regardless of what you're trying to do. But I think especially for like a high level sport, especially when you're not wanting to let anxiety kind of take the steering wheel, right?
Yeah. I think
especially,
it can take you,
especially now,
it can take you to a really crazy place. You know, like I was diagnosed with anxiety at the age of 18. And like, I think most of the times our brains want to play tricks on us and like convince us things that aren't actually true or like actually happening. And it's like, as soon as you take control of your thoughts or the things that you're feeling and like bring yourself back to a calm state, I think the vision is so much clearer. Like even like just with from a business aspect too, Bryce, like when we talk about things in our group, like I get so in my head about things, but as soon as I go back to the vision or like the non-negotiables or our vision boards, like I'm just like, okay, like I know I can do this. I just have to like get out of my head and truly believe that. So
yeah. Yeah. And that's why I feel like the breath work is so crucial too. Cause I know that you mentioned like breath work / like meditation in your visualization process. And mm-hmm. I think like that's really good for like calming your nervous system and for getting into a state where you're actually like able to be more present. Cause I feel like oftentimes when people are like super anxious, they're like so future focused or like so outcome focused that they're not even like thinking in like the present moment currently at all. And
for sure.
Like I've been that way too. Like just super, super fixated on the future and like living anywhere but here and now.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I feel like I'm the same way. Like I feel like I focus so far in advance on things that I just get so lost on the present moment. And I think that's where that anxiety stems from. I'm like, I have to have everything figured out. I need to know what's happening tomorrow. Like, but also like just being uncomfortable and being okay with that and like embracing the unknown. It's like, like you don't really know what's going on, but I don't know. It's really whatever you want it to be and whatever life you want to create. And you just have to be able to take it one step at a time because you don't know what tomorrow brings. Right. So I'm kind of like getting into that pattern as well. And like being like, I don't really know what's happening, but I'm just going to ride the waves and try and figure it out. Right. So
ride the waves is an excellent saying. It's like my main little slogan, but it's so true. And it's funny. Like when we're stressing about that, like I was diagnosed with anxiety and stuff too. And I just didn't have any tools in the toolkit coming off. I played hockey growing up and then just like lived a rougher life and had many concussions stacking up. And it made all of this so much worse. And I guess what this is leading into, and my question is, you know, when it's time, when you were ready to get back out there from the last injury to that second of stepping back on, what did that look like? Like, what was that preparation? Like, what was that whole rehab like? Like, what was that journey for you?
Yeah, I smile because it's just like, it's night and day. And it's, I mean, even when we talked last time, Bryce, like I thought I got to a point where I never would be able to play lacrosse again. And that literally broke me. And having to go through, I think athletes don't talk about this enough, like after you graduate college or you finish your professional career, it's like, who am I without my sport? You know? And I had that. I was like, holy crap. Like, who is Bianca without lacrosse? Like, what is happening? But I took like, it went in different strides. Like when I first got hurt, not knowing what exactly it was, to imaging, to injections, to this and that. And I was like, holy crap, like maybe this is just a sign, like I need to slow down and my body needs rest. And maybe I should actually listen to that for once, because I've dealt with chronic back pain for 10 years now. And it's like, mm-hmm. I just tried to push through it. I tried to do whatever to play, and I didn't feel good in the moments that I was playing. Yeah. And so I took whatever, I got the diagnosis, I did the cortisone shots, and I was just like, something still isn't right. It actually took me to a point where I had to pull out from Team Canada tryouts and like not move forward with that due to a really bad flare up. And I was just like, okay, Bianca, like this is your time to rest, mentally get yourself in a healthier spot with this injury, do the things that you can control, go to your appointments, like your physio, do your injections, go to your chiropractor, like get a hold of whatever's going on, and then mentally reset. Because I think that like relationship between the mental and physical component of rehab and like injury is very important. And yeah. Working with like a psychosomatic pain therapist, we talked about that. Like when you have moments in your life that are very high stress, or you have drastic changes, or you lose someone or things like that, your body takes the stress first. And then like, nothing happened. I didn't fall, nothing. I didn't get hit. I just had woke up one day and was in extreme pain. Couldn't sneeze, couldn't jump, couldn't run, couldn't bend over. And that was consistent for about a year until I got to a point where I tinkered my program. I had one of my bosses help me out, and a great strength coach in Vancouver. And we really dialed down into the specifics. And I was like, maybe it's not about doing a barbell back squat or lifting over 200 pounds. Maybe it's actually just about going back to the foundational movements, working on things that are functional and that I need so that I can be strong moving forward, and my level of strength or what was different from college. And I think that mental swap was so hard for me, because I'm like, oh, I'm weak, like I can't lift this weight. But I'm like, Bianca, you're not weak. You're just, your body is in like acquiring something different at this moment of your life.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
How did, before we kind of like segue off into this conversation a bit more, how did you navigate giving up like control? Because I know a lot of people tend to have issues with like not being able to predict outcomes, scenarios, not being able to like understand what's going to go on in the future. And I think a lot of people tend to have like control issues. And a lot of that is like something that's challenging to sometimes navigate. Yeah. So for yourself, especially being at like a high level when it comes to your sport, how did you navigate that whole process and like understand that like, I don't have control of what happens in this scenario, but that's okay?
Yeah, I think like that's just another thing that anxiety loves, you know, control. If you don't have control over something, you're screwed.
Yeah.
For me, like, I don't know. It's like, I had this like turning point. I was like, Bianca, like this is literally the cards that you've been dealt with right now. And like, you have to, one, figure out how to get through it. And it might not look exactly how it was planned out to be, or how, like 2 years is a long time to recover. And I was like, I was so over it. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm going to quit lacrosse. Like, I can't lift. Like, what's going on? And instead of looking at it as like an I can't, I was just like, kind of talked about this last time too, like, what kind of opportunity is this bringing me? You know, like, why is this happening right now? What can I choose to make it, or how can I choose to make it a positive? Like, maybe this is the time for me to slow down and like not go 100 miles per hour. Maybe this is the time to like let my body recover and like take a second to like just focus in on just not being an athlete and focusing on the strength stuff. Like, I didn't have control, and I was like, you're just gonna have to like accept that, and it's okay. Like, you are gonna be just fine. And like reminding myself that, doing a lot of work, self positive talk, like, you know, you're okay, you're in a safe environment, your body is healthy, you're just going through a difficult time right now, and you're gonna come out of it when your body's ready to. And I think letting go of a lot of stressful things in my life and coming to terms with things, I've noticed a significant difference in the way my body holds tension or pain or Like, I walk around now and I'm like, oh, that should hurt. But I'm like, oh, wait a second. I'm fine. This is so weird. Yeah. And it's like, but Bianca, you've worked so hard to get yourself to this point that it's like, it's okay that you're not in pain anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I've learned so much about myself and my like resilience in that 2 years too. So
it sounds like that journey was, you know, like, oh my God, I'm sneezing and I can't move and this pain is insane. And what is that was to who we're talking to today, that mental growth seems monumental, you know?
Yeah.
And we think about athletes coming back from injury and like, oh, like, are they ever going to return to that fine form? But we forget like there is a massive mental side to be gained in going through adversity like that. And that's quite admirable.
Yeah, no, thank you. Like, I agree. Like, I kind of had that, like, switch. Like, that first game, like, and returning to sport, I felt like it was, like, an out-of-body experience. Like, I was like, why am I about to have this breakdown? Like, I've played 100,000 of lacrosse games in my life. I was like, what is going on? And I think I was so nervous that I was, like, one, not going to play at the capacity that I normally am and, like, comparing myself to a past version and then just being like, what if I suck? But I'm like, Bianca, like, realistically, like, you're a high-level athlete. You know what you're doing. And, like, you're not going to be perfect that first game. And, like, that's totally cool. Like, it's you're just coming off of 2 years of, like, extreme pain, you know? So giving yourself some grace, I think, is also important.
One quick follow-up question here.
Oh, I love was there,
you know, we hear it called the dark night of the soul. Or, like, was there a point in and the rehabilitation and the physio and everything where it was just like, I can't do this. This is too much. Is there like a moment that stands out where it was like, oh my gosh, I can't handle any more of this. And if so, how'd you get out of that?
Yeah. I remember actually showing up to my chiropractor appointment, and my chiropractor in Calgary was like, she is fantastic. And she's helped me so much. Like, I remember sitting on the table and I literally was just bawling my eyes out. I was like, I am so tired of fighting this. I'm so tired of not knowing exactly what's wrong. I'm so tired of being in pain. I was like, I am in so much pain. I can't even do my job. I can't like walk around and like just be me. Like, it's debilitating. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I felt like I was just like giving up, and that's not like me. And I think that is a really great thing about me too. Like, I've learned, like, oh my God, like failing, like, I don't want to fail. Like, I hate failing, but I'm like, holy crap, like, Bianca, you're going to fail 100 times in your life before you find that thing that's going to be successful or that's going to click. Like, and that's okay, because it's all a part of the journey. And I think in order for me to come out of that dark space, I had to be really realistic with myself and be like, okay, you're comparing yourself to a past version of who you were strength wise, physical, mental health. And like, you are now 4 years, 5 years out of college, you're different. Like, your body's metabolism is different. You're older. Your physical health is different. Like, you went through 5 years of Division I lacrosse. Like, your body is not the same when you were 18 years old. And like, having that conversation and reinforcing positive self-talk, I was just like, yeah, I had to pull myself out of there because I was miserable. I was so depressed. I was heartbroken. I was taking things out on the people that I loved because I was so angry with what was going on in my life at that time. So.
Yeah. You kind of touched upon it earlier, but you talked about how your body holds on to a lot of tension through trauma and stuff. And you mentioned that earlier as well. So how did you go about understanding that more? Because, like, I feel like that's a thing that a lot of people probably would just kind of like throw in the towel, or they would just get super frustrated and maybe just want to stop. So for you, how did you understand, like, okay, well, maybe a lot of this that I'm experiencing is mental?
Yeah, I think like when it got past the point of like a year and I wasn't fully recovered, I was like, something's off. And like, I was reading up on like the connection between like your brain, the mental health, and like physical pain or chronic pain, because I've dealt with chronic back pain, and like the connection with like your hormones and like everything like that. And I was like, holy crap, like this really does sound like something I'm going through. So working with a therapist in like pain management, we talked about it, and I was like, okay, like I don't get pain when I do this, but I get pain when I do this. And it was like connections to like things that caused me pain and didn't cause me pain. And like, but my mm-hmm. environment wasn't changing. And I was like in a safe environment with no weights and I was fine. But it's like, as soon as I grabbed a weight, I was like, nope, no, nope, nope, I can't do this. Or as soon as I sneezed, I would brace. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to sneeze. I'm so scared. Or like going for a run, I'm like, I feel like a newborn deer. Like what is happening? So I think for me, like understanding that connection and actually like putting in the work to understanding that, because like I said, before Team Canada tryouts, extreme flare up. Like I was high stressed. I was so nervous about what was going to happen in that competition and I didn't want to embarrass myself. And then just like navigating through life changes and things like that. I was like, the more stressed I was, the more flared up I was. So I put two and two together. I was like, I need to get to a point where I'm just like putting myself in better situations and getting myself in a better mindset, because this negative cycle I was in was not helping my recovery process whatsoever. So I just, it was a lot of like mental training.
So then a quick like follow up upon that then.
Yeah.
How did you go about really developing more mental fortitude? I know like you mentioned that a little bit earlier, some things that you've done. But what were mm-hmm. some things that you'd recommend that a lot of athletes do that maybe there's not enough emphasis on?
Yeah. For me, like, I think just like journaling was really important, like writing things down or having conversations with people and just being like, this is how I'm feeling. Like, you know, is this something I'm making up or is this valid? You know, and going to my therapy sessions and being like, completely honest with myself. I think when I wasn't honest with myself, I was holding myself back from recovering. And now looking back at it, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And also just like taking advantage of your resources. I feel like as an athlete personally, I was so embarrassed to seek help and like admit that I was mentally not in a good place or that I was struggling and like had anxiety or like had these pains and trigger points. And like when I was able to acknowledge that something wasn't feeling right and take the step forward to get the help that I needed, I was like, okay, like I'm in a better spot now. I got that off my chest. Now, like what us athletes, you know, we always like to attack things head on. I'm like, okay, now what are we doing? Like, what's the next step?
Yeah. Yeah.
I read a bunch of books that were really helpful as well with like chronic pain and like the waves that your brain sends off during stuff like that. And then, I think just like reading was really helpful for me and like podcasts too.
Absolutely. There's so much knowledge out there. And like you touched on it too. Like there's this fear still of like, we see it big time with men still, and it's changing. It is changing in the right direction, but it's still there. But yes, absolutely with athletes too. And it's we're all experiencing and feeling these same things. And oh my gosh, it feels so good when we talk about them and we use our resources and we act as a community, you know, like that feels so good. And we all do it, but we still avoid. And it's interesting how that seems to be such a big part of your journey of coming back to it, of that, but there still is that stigma with it. And I wonder, and I was thinking about this as you were speaking about it, I wonder if that little piece there that is kind of like the bravado, the ego, I'll say, of, you know, having to admit that maybe I need a little bit of help here is also the same thing, you know, transmuted, what makes you a great athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like, I don't know, I'm my own worst critic. I always have been, but as an athlete, like I was a perfectionist for most of my life. And like, if things weren't going the way that I had planned, I was like, oh my God, like I'm failing. This is terrible. But like letting go of that perfectionism and being like, holy, like I'm just a human being. I'm doing the best I can. Like I'm an athlete. I work hard. That's always like, I work at 110%. That's who I am. But like just being like totally like okay with the uncomfortable and being like, I'm going to fail. And like, that's all right. Like in college, I think I look back at it, I'm like, I feel like I could have been even better, like as a player athlete, if I just was not in my head for 95% of it, you know? Looking back at myself now, I'm like, oh, like I wish I was in this like headspace, because I like, when I was playing and I wasn't stressed and I was like I was in an environment that I wasn't feeling so much pressure, I was playing the best lacrosse of my life. And like, as soon as you take yourself out of that environment and you just play and you have fun and accept, like I tell my athletes all the time, you're going to make mistakes, but if you tried, I will never be upset. If you put in an honest effort, I can never be mad because you tried. And that's the most important part. And like, that's something that I take with me now, like going into my coaching with these athletes, like, I don't want them to go through the same things I did. Like, I want them to learn and like make those mistakes, but I want them to be and play at the best capacity they possibly can in like such a healthy mental space, because we don't talk about that mental space. Like, I did it for so long and now I'm like, I don't really care what people think. Like, if I can help someone or another athlete in their college career, I'm going to, because I didn't want to go through that alone, but I did, and it was painful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Sorry. Were there any light bulb moments in that journey back where you learned something just absolutely profound about yourself that you just didn't know was there? And, I mean, even just saying that now, we know, yes, there was. There's the ability to react, to go from negative to positive. And it sounds like the way you talk about this now in past tense is so, it's not a negative part of your life. It's been completely, it could, you, like so many people, there would be nothing wrong with this. You could just sit and, you know, blame in that. But it sounds like that didn't work, and maybe you even tried to, and it was no, like, this is how it is. I did it. I did the steps. I did all the things to get back, you know, kicking, screaming sometimes. I got back, but here we are. And was there any like epiphany moments where you're just like, oh, I didn't know I had that?
Yeah. I like smile because it's like so funny. Like, I look back at the person that I was in high school. I was so sheltered. I was like shy, this little tiny kid that didn't look anyone in the eyes, like was so scared of the world. And if like, as much as college was difficult for me, and it, like, you can't map out or like play this shit out, like it happened. And like, my college career was crazy. And trying to navigate through that, and then looking back, I'm like, holy crap, like, as tough as it was, I'm so glad I had that opportunity. And I tell my girls like to pursue that, because you learn so much about who you are and who you want to be. And I come out of that, one, I'm so much more resilient. I have a backbone. Two, I'm not this shy, anxious kid anymore. Three, I learned so much about myself and who I am, and like just the mental aspect of like how tough I am. And like, this whole like motto for me nowadays is like, you can do hard things, you know? And like, if I didn't have those experiences in my life, I feel like I would still be the same sheltered kid, you know, like suppressing everything, not talking about my feelings and embracing who I am. I think like in this world, it's such a hard place to be, but like when you're your authentic self and you're exactly who you're supposed to be, I think it's just so much better. Like, you know, like people will connect to you better. And like, I have no shame in my story. I want to tell people my story. I'm actually working on writing a book, which sounds crazy. Cool. But like, I don't think any athlete should suffer in silence. Like, it's a grind out there, and the pressures we deal with and the way that we're communicated to, and the almost like the persona we have to carry around, like, oh, athletes, like, they're tough, like, you know, they live this perfect life. But I wasn't living a perfect life in college. I struggled hard to a point where I got to a dark place and I was like, okay, Bianca, like, something's up. You got to take yourself out of this, and you're going to rewrite your story, and you're not going to go back to that place ever again.
Were there any lacrosse or non-lacrosse people, athletes, pop culture icons that you like kind of were? I know anytime I've gone through it, and this is my personality, sometimes I have inspiration from someone. Say what you will, but there was a time in my life where I really liked Tom Brady, and I liked winning, and I hated losing, and I liked that we shared that mentality, and it helped me out of some dark times. Was there any inspirational kind of people you looked up to? It could be authors, historical figures.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm trying to think back to like that time for me. I don't know if like this is like currently what I'm using. I don't know if that's okay to share, but I've been on this like Mel Robbins kick. She is fantastic. I think in the, especially in the last couple months, in moments where I was doubting myself or having a very difficult time with, you know, things in my life, pain, discomfort, relationships, whatever, friendships, work, I would go onto her podcast and like just having her talk and like listen, I was like, okay, one, I'm not alone. Two, I'm loved because she says it at the end of every podcast, which makes me feel like, okay.
Yeah.
And three, it just, the advice she gives makes me feel like, you know, I'm heard and like, yeah, I'm not alone. And like, I can get through whatever's going on. It's just about switching that mentality. And like, that's just something that I've been working on, especially with like the business group that we're in. Like,
yeah.
I talk to Zach about it all the time. Like, my mindset is like my biggest enemy. And like, the sooner I can switch it from a negative to a positive and like embrace that, I think like I'll be setting myself up for success. Cause it's like, I know I have the tools and everything, but it's like, why don't I believe that I'm like worthy of these good things? Is it because I went through so much bad in my life at some point? Or is it because it's like, you know, it's a very saturated industry, for example. And I'm just like, I'm just another person in this industry, you know? Yeah. So
the belief is the key. Yeah. It seems to be the key.
Yeah.
I think a ton of it ties into self-worth. So mm-hmm. I think it's how we intrinsically view ourselves, but also how people extrinsically view us will often dictate how we view ourselves too. And I think a lot of it, you touched upon it earlier too, about perfectionism. And like, yeah. I think a lot of people like tend to have these perfectionist tendencies where a lot of us are super, super outcome focused. We want to give ourselves praise when we do accomplish a certain outcome or a certain task. But I was actually like listening to a podcast a while back, and he was talking about applauding ourselves on effort, not just outcomes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good thing to think about just for like anybody, whether you're a high level athlete or you're somebody trying to start a business or you're somebody trying to just simply make it in the world, just doing your thing, right? And I think it's good to know, like, not just recognize your strides when it comes to things that you're accomplishing, but things that you're doing on a daily basis. Because end of the day, like, those things wouldn't have even happened if you weren't doing the daily actions, the weekly actions, mm-hmm. getting up when you're supposed to get up, you know, doing the early workouts, doing your journaling, you know, all that stuff. So I think that's all the things that like make you successful. And often it can be hard to like think about those things as being worthy of praise. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that is definitely a perfectionist trait. It's all tied to, well, this has to be something like mm-hmm. worth celebrating, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like, I'll say this is a good one too. Like, comparison is a thief of joy. Like, I spent so many years, and still now in my adult years, like comparing my life, my journey, my everything to the people around me. It's like, no, like celebrate them, like applaud them, and like use that success as fuel. Because you are also in a space or a place that you can have those things as well. And like, your life is cool. It is cool. Like, my life is cool, but it's like, sometimes I try to like, when things are good or I have something cool, I always try to like downplay it or like not celebrate it. And I think being like, looking back to my younger self as an athlete, like I dealt with a lot of insecurities because I had a lot of pressure on me when I was younger to be this like certain person, this athlete, to have all these things. And like, sometimes that pressure did break me and it was very debilitating, but it's like, in a way it pushed me to where I needed to get. But sometimes like now looking back at it, I'm like, mentally, like that pressure is still something that lingers, right? Like that common question of like, am I good enough? Am I worthy? Like that's something that is a reoccurring thought, especially when I was an athlete. Like, is this good enough? Like, am I playing well enough? And I would not beat myself up, but like mentally be so hard on myself after a game if I didn't put up goals or things like that. But I'm like, you're still a good player if you don't score goals. There's so many things that contribute to having a good game. But success to me was goals, right? So like, there's just so many things that play into being an athlete that no one talks about. And it's a full-time job. And like, there's so much that goes into it. Like, this just didn't happen for me overnight. Like, this is years in the making of like the amount of like blood, sweat, and tears, like literal tears, nights I was on the floor, like crying because I was like, why is this happening to me right now? You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's often like a blessing in disguise, right? Like, I think in the moment, it feels like our whole world is shattering. Yeah. But after you realize that it like has helped shape you and mold you. Mm-hmm. And before we move on, I was going to ask anyways, have you talked to like your therapist about your childhood much?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like the beginning stages of like my like therapy journey was very like rewiring my like little childhood brain, you know. Because like, yeah, like I had an awesome childhood. I love my family, I love my parents, you know, like great childhood, but like that pressure to perform and the pressure that I had on me for years to be this athlete that excelled, you know, I played high level soccer, high level lacrosse, making the decision to move forward with lacrosse and go to Division I level, represent the national team for Italy. Like, there's so many different components of pressure, and like trying to navigate that at a very young age was quite difficult. And I did that alone, right? And
yeah,
now being able to talk about it as my older self, I'm like, ah, this stuff makes sense. Like, now it's clicking, you know?
Yeah. It's funny how that is.
Yeah.
And like the older I get, all these things become true that we just like when we were kids are like, nah, like, and the number one being attitude is everything over every locker room I was in. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
No. Yeah, I agree. I think like, yeah, I've been my own worst critic since I was younger, and like, I would just like not have a good game or things like that. And I'd be so worried about the conversation post game, like, you know, whether it was from my coach or a parent, and be like, I should have done this. You're right. Or like, I knew I was holding myself back. I could feel it, but I think I was so scared of like going all out or making those mistakes that I just played it safe. And now I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, Bianca, you can't play it safe anymore. You're never going to know what else is out there if you're just staying in the slow lane. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have to be picky with my life. I have to give these opportunities a chance. And like, yeah, they're scary, but I'm like, what if something really cool comes out of it? You know?
Absolutely. And with your coaching now too, do you find that, you know, with the wisdom that you learned coming back, do you see any athletes kind of, and I don't want to say mistake because it's so individual for all of us, but any where you see maybe the most common hiccups in people's return and the return to sport?
Like at a younger age, it's like hard because I haven't really like seen it much, but like in general, like I think like the mental blocks, like, oh my god, like what if I get hurt again, or oh my gosh, like what if I you know, don't perform as well, or like what if I'm not as good as I used to be, or what if I'm slow? Like, there's just so many what ifs. I'm just like, okay, like let's not worry about the what ifs. Why don't we, one, celebrate that you're back, two, like ride out the waves. Like, it's gonna be a bumpy road, but you're gonna come back and you might actually be even stronger than you were before. And you know, four, just have fun. Like, okay.
Do you think the mental or the physical battle back was tougher?
Oof. I think that, I don't even know. Like, looking back at my journey, in the last 3 weeks, like, one, mentally, like, going through that little panic attack, and two, like, physically, like, I wasn't in, like, bad shape because I've been training really hard, but looking at my cardio, that's, like, the biggest thing that I noticed, because it's, like, running for the first couple months back, I felt like a baby deer. Like, I didn't know how to run. Like, it felt so foreign to me. So like, there is the physical component of like, okay, you know, something significant has happened to your body. Now you're guarding and like, protecting it. Like, it is weird. Physically, it is very weird. And I'm going through that right now. I'm like, ooh, this like, ooh, feels weird. Or, oh, I'm fine. You're just being dramatic. But honestly, they go hand in hand. Like, it depends on the person too. Like, what is more tougher for them, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you talked upon it a while back too, and I think that's why it's so important to have like a good pre-game ritual, whatever that may entail for you, just something that can kind of like ground you and get you ready to actually perform your best. Because I think like, I saw a video a while back and they were just saying like 90, this is about business, but they were saying like, when it comes to business success, like 90 of it is mental, 10% is actually like business work. And like, obviously it's not the exact same for sport, but I do think that, like you mentioned earlier today too, that if mentally you're in a weird place, you're not going to be able to play your best game. Mm-hmm. And like the games that you are more free in the mind, the games that you weren't thinking as much, you were able to like actually like remember like, oh, I'm here because I love lacrosse. Yeah. Like, obviously it's cool where I am, what I've done with this, but I'm here because I love this sport.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think like, yeah, there was a moment in my career where I didn't love the game, and it was heartbreaking. I was like, I don't enjoy this. I'm anxious all the time. Practices aren't fun. Like, I feel like this is just a job. Like, I don't get any fulfillment out of it. And like, that's why I got into coaching, because like coaching the kids, like I'll always say they saved me, because like they brought back my love for the sport. They made me feel whole again. Like, they made me realize why I played the sport in the first place. And now, going in full circle, I want to make sure as a coach, I'm doing the best to provide them with a really good environment, a safe place, and situation where it's fun to play. And that if they do have issues, they can come to me and talk to them, and we can navigate through them together. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, as an athlete, there's just so many different obstacles you go through. But like that mental aspect that we talked about, like I didn't realize how important the prep work before a game was. Like, if I could get myself focused on my breathing, focused on the environment that I was in, you know, maybe I was dancing it out or singing it out in the locker room to just get the nerves out, and then going out and like putting my game face on, I knew I was in a better position compared to like going in cold and not being prepared, right? Like, after a few college games under my belt, I was like, yeah, the nerves are real. Like, you know, like your games are live streamed, there's people there, you're in a conference. Like, it was a really big wake up call for me. And I was like, okay, like this is a different form of like competition now. And I had to like take a step up and be like, okay, like I got to get dialed in before a game and figure out what it is that's going to get me to play my best across. But playing my best lacrosse is definitely when I'm like in a much more relaxed state. I'm having fun. I'm not as stressed out, and I'm just focusing on like what I bring to the table as an athlete.
Yeah. And I think that shift in its own is huge, right? Like, and yeah. I think that's really great that you're trying to instill that in like the younger generation too, and that you're trying to apply that approach to your coaching, because I feel like it's really easy to get caught in it being solely a performance. And yeah. Obviously, like, that's a big component of it and a big aspect of it for sure if you want to play at collegiate level or pro level. But I do think that like we talked about, the first thing was you got there because you enjoyed playing sports, and you have to still have fun. And I think it's important, especially for kids too, to like realize that like you're getting like active, you're doing something that you enjoy doing, you're moving, you're stimulating your brain, and like you're playing something with a group of people that you like playing sports with too. And I think sometimes we can get lost. We can forget that.
No, exactly. I was telling you guys with like the figuring out who you are without lacrosse kind of thing. Like, the athlete is always a person first, and then they're an athlete second. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be able to, yes, my athletes, but at the end of the day, they're kids, they're people. And like, I want to make sure they're in a good environment that they can grow and develop. And like, at the end of the day, I want to make these kids better people and like prep them for the world. That's not easy out there. And like, I just want to make sure that, as a coach, I am doing my job and like always providing like the truth about things, because I don't want to set them up for failure. Like, it's a hard world out there. School is hard. And like, you're managing full-time being a student, full-time athlete. Like, you're away from home, your support system, like you get homesick. Like, there's so many things that go into being an athlete. And I don't think a lot of people talk about that, because like, oh, I'm tough, I'm an athlete, I'm like, whatever. But I mean, there's a lot.
Quick follow-up. How did Bianca go about finding who Bianca is?
Oh, Jesus.
quick little follow-up here.
My God.
Yeah, because you mentioned it there too. You're like, you know, you had to spend some time finding out who you were apart from lacrosse. So how did you go about doing that? And like, what did you find in your search? X marks the spot. What's there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out who I am. There's been some like pretty crazy life changes in the last 2 years of my life. And I think at the end of the day, like, I don't know, there's so many things that make me who I am. And like, instead of like constantly bringing myself down, I'm choosing to celebrate those things. And like, it's like going on my trip, I was like, there's so many cool things I have going on in my life, and I should soak it in and embrace things more. Like, at the end of the day, like that whole like 1% better every day kind of quote, like, that's exactly where I want to be. Like, I don't, I'm choosing not to hold myself back anymore. I'm choosing to like embrace the unknown. And like, yes, you're going to be scared. Like, accept those feelings, emotions, digest them, and like move forward, you know, because at the end of the day, these are the things that are one, contributing to my journey, two, are, you know, creating that story and that path for me. And like, one day I'm going to look back and be like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't hold myself back, or, oh, I'm so glad I took that step forward, right? Because like I said, oftentimes we play our lives in the safe, like safe lane, and we're playing things, you know, cool. And like, I don't know. I want to create a life for myself that I love. And if I keep playing it safe, that's never, ever going to happen. You know, you never know what's out there unless you try. So it's, and I'm going to fail. And I think being realistic with myself is important, because I used to just be like, oh, like, what if this happens, or what if this happens? But like, everything kind of plays out the way it's supposed to. And it might not make sense right away, but when you look back at it, you're going to be like, oh, okay. That makes sense. So,
on the tail end of that, then, what would you say to, let's say, the young student athlete who has had good success in their individual sport and is now faced with their first big injury setback?
Oh, gosh.
What would you say to you, actually, if you could go back and to that moment, and you could then, you know, and I'm sure we've all done this in therapy where you like coach that inner child on what you wish happened and how it could have gone. What would you say to yourself the moment after that injury to help you with your future knowledge now?
Oh, wow.
Or like just a couple follow-up questions. Who are you?
Yeah. Hitting me with the hard stuff, guys. Come on.
That's what we do.
No, it's a great question. I think like looking back at it, like I would say like, yes, injuries are unfortunate, but also like when you sign up to be an athlete, it's a part of the journey. It's a possibility that can happen. Like no one wants to go into a game and tear their ACL, but that happens. And like, there's that opportunity and that like, that grace period where it's like, okay, am I going to let this tear me apart, or am I going to recreate myself and come out even stronger out of this? And like, that's, you have two choices and it's up to you which one you're going to take. And like, when I got hurt, I was like, I took a few weeks. I was sulking, you know, I had months where I was like, holy crap, this sucks. But like, I looked at it and I was like, Bianca, like you're going to either let this tear you apart or you're going to recreate yourself and you are going to come back out of this stronger and you're going to have a kick-ass season when you get back. Like, am I going to be the same player I was when I was 12? Absolutely not. I hit my prime and I was like, woo. But like, also, I know I have a really great athletic career and like, yeah, this was a setback, but now I'm going to like take this setback and I'm going to move forward and I'm going to come out a better, like better player because of it. And like, I'm going to prep myself strength wise, mentally, I'm going to get myself into a better place with this so that when I do get back to sport, I'm in a good spot. And three, like taking care of my body. That's so important. Like when your body tells you something, listen to it. It's not lying, you know? Yeah. So biggest takeaway for that is like, yes, like take the time to acknowledge what's going on, feel your feels, and then like choose to come out of it stronger than you left.
So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's so interesting. A lot of the stuff we talk about too is about, oh, this adversity has happened. Oh, woe is me. And again, I have so much compassion for that. And it's, yeah, you can stay. And like, I think it's important to not just be like, oh, I'm good, back to road to recovery. Acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it. You have to sit with it. And it's almost like acceptance. And from that place of acceptance, then you said it exactly. You have a choice. And that, we talk about this so much on different topics that we go over. Like that choice is everything. Like that true free will, you get to decide through all the emotion. And sometimes it doesn't feel, it feels like the external is just affecting everything. But that true internal choice is exactly what the power is. And I wonder what that splits. It's so different for all of us. But that split second that turns it from negative to positive. Yeah. And it just, it's always right near the, you know, the saying, the darkest before the dawn. There seems to be like, oh my gosh, I can't handle this. Oh wait, I can. And then we come back. And that's just like the resilience of the human spirit is so cool.
Yeah. I think you just learn, like in this experience, I've learned so much about myself and it's like, you truly are stronger than you think. And like this whole, like you are the greatest project you will ever work on. Like, you are, you really are. And like your life can be anything you want it to be. And there's no rules and there's, you know, like the only choice you have is yours. Like, no one can make the choice for you. And like, I think if we stop giving our brains so much power and being like, give that power back to us, like, you can choose whatever life you want to live. You can choose how to recover from an injury, however you want to be. But like, at the end of the day, ultimately is your choice. And if you want to take it in a positive way or a negative way, like, it is truly up to you. And I hope that people do choose to use it as a way to build strength instead of letting them letting that injury defeat them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Recently I saw Jordan Peterson when he came to Edmonton, and he talked about the idea of seeking adventure. And it was a kind of a cool concept where he talked about how a lot of people will often live their life in like security, and they'll live their life like sheltered in a sense, because they don't want to like experience the unknown. But the biggest thing, and you've mentioned it a lot today too, is like that fear of the unknown, right? They don't know where they're going. They can't like pin their finger on it, and they don't know what's going to happen. But I think, like, as we've kind of discussed today too, and it kind of ties into the topic and everything, is to like really pursue that. Like, pursue that adventure, pursue that unknown feeling, because like, that's where you're going to experience a lot of growth. I mean, you're going to have like, maybe adventure in that sense for you was the injury, because like, it taught you a lot about yourself. But I do think that's a part of the entire process. And unfortunately, it's like the brutal character development that we need.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's just something like I'm currently working on now too, because like, I do try to have like the control aspect and like that perfectionism that I'm just trying to let go of. And like, I was always the person that like had a plan, knew exactly what you wanted, like this kind of job, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm just in a position where I'm like, life's not really going as exactly as I planned out, but like, I know it's going to be even better than I imagined. And like, I feel like the self-talk too, like the more you reinforce that positivity and put it out there, the better your life's going to get. And like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, everything's perfect. Like, I'm scared shitless. Like, I am pursuing a business. Yeah, I'm pursuing a business. I'm trying to go to the Olympics. Like, I'm moving into a new space. Like, I'm starting over in my life at 26. People say I'm young, but I don't feel young. And like, I'm just like riding the waves. Like, hey, I don't fucking know what's happening tomorrow, but you know what? I'm going to choose to live today to the best of my capacity and build myself up for my future self, right? Like, I can't let my value go astray. You know, it's just like, you have so much to offer. Every person does. It's just how they choose to put that energy back into the world, right? So I don't know. I'm just like trying to ride these waves. I'm really trying to create a better life for myself, you know, and make people proud. Like, at the end of the day, like, I want to not only make myself proud.
It's okay. We're good.
Are we there? I don't only want to make myself proud, but I want to
continue. Yes.
Am I good? Okay. I don't only want to make myself proud, but I want to make my like family proud and like the people in my life proud and be like, you know, I look at Bianca and like, she's an inspiration, or like my athletes, you know, I mentor them and I want them to be like, oh my God, like because of my coach, like I did this or I got through this, you know, like I want to be an inspiration to people. And I don't do anything crazy with my life, but I just want to be able to provide positive advice for people so that when they do go through a hard time, they don't feel alone.
I think that's one of the cool, like, depending on what the sport is in different countries and everything, athletes can get a bad rap, and I get it. It's more of a culture thing, but being an athlete myself growing up too, I think it's so cool that the second we're done, what our main thing is, we instantly go back to help. You know, you instantly get, whether, you know, for me, it was coaching football in high school or right back to on ice for hockey. And it's just instant, that same thing. It's like, oh, here's all the mistakes I made and here's how I can help you with them because I didn't have this. And I just think that cycle is just, again, a test to like people being awesome and wanting to help each other, and especially athletes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a really cool population of people, and like every athlete has a unique story and like different path, and like I think at the end of the day we all have a common goal and we can all relate, which is really cool.
So follow-up question, what's the biggest, as we're all coaches here, what's the biggest difference you notice training Gen Pop to an athlete, let's say someone playing like, you know, like playing up there, getting closer to college kind of vibe?
Yeah. I think, like, at the end of the day, like, everyone has goals. So, like, when I coach people in general pop, like, they have goals and they're, like, they're determined to do them. Athletes, I feel like, same thing. They have goals, but, like, there's just a different level of drive, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not saying general pop doesn't have a drive. They do. But, like, as athletes, we have this, like, we're instilled with this, like, if there's something that I want, I'm going to go for it. And like, I'm going to spend hours and hours of practice and I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this meal into my body. And as general population, like if you're not an athlete, you don't understand, like sometimes you don't, there's that gap between like that schedule and that routine and that drive, like consistency is really, really hard. Right. And like some people really struggle with that. Right. And as an athlete coaching people, I try to like help them see that what the importance of consistency is and how this can benefit them in the future, right? Like we're no different, but like I feel like in terms of like motivation and I don't want to like I want to say things that aren't going to offend people, but like and drive, it's just it completely different because we've been pushed our whole lives. Like me getting into the gym versus someone who's general pop getting into the gym, it's completely different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I don't know, Bryce, what do you think?
Big times.
I would just say like, yeah, I'd say that's pretty money, like pretty dead on. I would say like the biggest thing from my experience or what I would think too is like with athletes, I feel like it'd be harder to tell them to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're not going to stop.
Whereas I feel like with Gen Pop, like it's probably harder to get them to be consistently and like diligently following a plan and adhering. Not that like that's the case for everyone, but I feel like for athletes, like the biggest thing is like telling them to like let off the gas after an injury.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Like I've done that so many times. My, you know, physio's like, you got to stop. You got to take a month off. I had to take a month off of playing in college because of my back. And I was like, no, absolutely not. Like I was always trying to find a way to push through it, but then it's just like, that's like the give and take of being an athlete. But you're like, maybe I do need a break. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's definitely different.
It all ties into the mental stuff like we talked about, right? It's figuring out, I think it's knowing somebody's why, like regardless of whether they're somebody who is more like gen pop, we'll air quote that, or someone who's more like they have more sport specific goals or they have more goals related to maybe it's more outcome based, right? And for them, I feel like either way, it's really important for you as a coach to figure out what their why is. And I think for them as an individual to have good clarity of what they want to accomplish, what they want to do.
Absolutely. I agree.
But I think we'll wrap it up for there today. I think there's a lot of great talking points here. So for those of you that don't follow you already, where can they follow you on all your media platforms? Stay up to date with what you do. Hear more about your book, which is fucking cool.
Very fucking cool.
Yeah. And also, it's a work like, in progress. You know, everything else. Where can I follow you? Yeah.
Santucci Fit. @SantucciFit. Cool. That's where all the journey stuff's on there. But yeah, I mean, follow me. Get some good advice. You already follow me, Bryce.
Yeah. No, I love what you're doing. I think like, you know, there's a lot of great talking points here, but I think the biggest thing is you're trying to instill hope. And I think the world needs more of that. We need more people trying to instill hope through relatability, trying to shed some light and tell people that like they can do the things that they want to do and that they're not going to be where they are right now, like stuck forever. And I think that's huge. So keep doing your thing. Absolutely. I love to see it. And I can't wait to see where else you're going. So
awesome. Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Have the best day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
No problem.